from an undisclosable location for reasons of security. Well, at least enough to keep the amateurs out. And therefore in security, this is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. John B. Wells in with you tonight, sitting in for ship's captain George Norrie as the mothership takes off for parts unknown, the inexplicable, the inextricable. Well, you know, it was a great pleasure to talk with Stuart Rhodes last night, and then also Robert Pelton. And, you know, there's all this this gun hysteria, but we're not going to do a whole lot of that tonight, but we are going to stay on until we're absolutely sure that some of the fears about no one's going to take your firearms away, nobody's going to do that. And, well, when I'm sure about that, then we'll quit talking about it. But in the meantime, you know, I was thinking, sometimes people, when you talk about the this right to keep and bear arms and all that, they go, oh, you're so right-wing, you're so right-wing. You know, I was thinking, this really is not a wing this way or a wing that way. If it's anything, it's really, well, it's downright hippie stuff, maybe even yippie stuff. You know, I would think that, I have many liberal friends out there, and they send me emails all the time, and I would think that they would love it, and I bet that they do. Those who didn't smoke so much pot may still remember a little incident called Kent State. Let me just remind you quickly, the May 4th massacre, Kent State massacre, occurred at Kent State University in the city of Kent, Ohio, May 4, 1970. Now, that seems like ancient history now. The National Guardsmen fired 67 rounds over a period of 13 seconds, killing 4 students, wounding 9 others, one of whom suffered permanent paralysis. Some of those students who were shot had been protesting against the American invasion of Cambodia, which President Richard Nixon announced in a television address on April 30. Other students who were shot had been walking nearby or observing the protest from a distance. Now, I messed up on something, and I want to clarify it right now. I told you if I make a mistake, I'll just say, hey, I messed up, and that's how it is. So here it is. In discussing that horrific shooting in Norway in 2011, where the guy may get 21 years, killed over 80 kids, that was not a bolt-action rifle. The initial reports were that it was, but as it turns out, it was a thing called a Ruger Mini 14, and most people would call that an assault rifle. But let's quickly go to Charles Whitman. At ranges of up to 450 meters, this engineering student and former Marine killed 14 and wounded 32 others in a shooting rampage in and around the tower of the University of Texas at Austin on August 1, 1966. And then there was that whole wounded knee thing in 1973. So here's the thing. Here's the thing to remember. It doesn't matter if we don't have to embrace each other's views and ideologies. This Constitution that we have is meant to protect everybody, every American citizen. And I'm wondering, when did it become radical to love freedom, love your country and what it is supposed to represent to the world, cherish the Constitution, and cherish that it has been codified since the inception of this country that every person here, whether they agree with each other or not, are entitled to equal protection and treatment under the law? When did that become so radical? 1776, 1789, somewhere in there, was unheard of. One of these days, I'll talk to you about Evacuation Day, when 14,000 new Americans allowed themselves to perish from disease and starvation on board British prison ships out there in the harbor. They had only to say that they would be loyal to the king and they would be released, and they refused and perished for it. I wonder how bad things must have been for them to have preferred that fate to just saying, okay, I'll swear allegiance to the king, let me off. Well, they didn't do it. Back in the day, in those carefree days of wonder and ignorance, I believed my country, I believed my government, but then came the questions, and the questions just kept coming. JFK, King, RFK, George Wallace in a wheelchair, Malcolm X. How many of these were covert operations of the upper level type? I don't know. We've even been warned in Pravda that the White Army was able to keep the Red Army away because they were armed. But then Washington, D.C. jumped in and funded the Bolshevik Revolution. And the communist state was on. The theme for sitting in for George Norrie this week really has pretty much been beginning with, not at the very beginning of the week, but certainly with Rob Potter and Cobra, was you are the agents of light. Nothing is going to happen. You may not think you have any power, but you do as an individual and collectively, and we have to support each other and we have to help each other through that. Now, tonight is a program I do believe that you're going to like because there is something in here that's a little, well, it's the perfect yin and yang. First hour, Craig Hewlett. We're going to discuss briefly how county sheriffs are the only elected law enforcement officials in the country and are the first line of defense in preserving constitutional rights of U.S. citizens. That means you. And then this is going to be something completely different. Just gonna yank the wheel this way. Transformed, The Science of Spectacular Living. This is a fantastic book written by Dr. Judith Wright and Dr. Bob Wright. And Dr. Bob Wright is going to join us for the remaining 3 hours of the program. And so, remember, they control your health care. They control your money. They track you. They record you. They search you. They grope you. And now they want to disarm you. And when they do, you will be completely naked. Naked people do not resist. If you can find a Holocaust survivor, ask them. They'll verify it. So, welcome to the program. It's Thursday, day of Thor. Hammer down. You know what I mean? And so, to you at home, you at work, you on the road, you in hospital, you in prison, and you who are about to rock, we visit you. Craig Hewlett is next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Craig B. Hewlett, please come upon the bridge and address us, sir. Come most presently upon your hour. How are you? Good to have you back.
I'm doing well.
Well, that's what I like about you, Craig. You're short and to the point. All right, let's get into this. What's got your attention now? The county sheriffs, understand there's, well, of course, our PIO is always in the loop somewhere, and now Wyoming is trying to put together some sort of a gun protection act. What do you got on sheriffs?
Well, what Wyoming's doing would be perfect if every state would cooperate and do the similar thing. But I've started suggesting that, you know, I think the American people need to start looking at our county sheriffs now. They were designed to be and are still remain the most important law enforcement official in the American system of jurisprudence. And not just because they're elected, but they're elected every 4 years, and they are the one group that can deputize the citizens of any county. So I know this has happened on occasion because I've worked with federal law enforcement in the past. If a county sheriff doesn't like the way the DEA or the ATF or any other federal agency is handling itself in his county, the sheriff can simply tell him to get the hell out. And I've seen it happen. They escort them to the county line and say, move on, don't come back until you clean up your act. Now, if it gets out of hand, they're fully capable of deputizing thousands of individual citizens in their county.
Would that be a militia, Craig?
That would be the militia. But the sheriff separately can create a volunteer posse without using any emergency decree. In fact, I don't know how to pronounce his name right now, the sheriff in Arizona, Phoenix, whatever his name is, he just got 3,000 of citizens to volunteer. He deputized them to go around and not occupy the territory of the public school system, not actually on their property, but to stay in the perimeter around the schools to protect the schools from anything happening. Now, he's been just absolutely savage in the progressive left press for doing this, that this is some kind of an outrage, when in fact, it's probably one of the smartest moves I've seen a sheriff make. I think it's exactly what that sheriff should be doing. And if you try to go to that particular sheriff's county under an executive order from the White House that says you can't own an AR-15 that was previously owned by you perfectly legally and now through ex post facto law, he says you have to go to jail if you don't turn it in, I think we're going to have a real problem. Because if enough sheriffs get together alone, you must realize that one sheriff in a large county could deputize 30, 40, 50,000 able-bodied men with the correct weapon that the Founding Fathers wanted to see that we were armed with, and that was the weapon of the day. 1776, it was a musket. 1866, it was a Henry rifle with cartridges. Now it's an AR-15 or a Bushmaster or an M4. That's exactly what this country is supposed to be armed with for our own defense under the Second Amendment. It has nothing else to do with anything. Not hunting, not collecting, nothing. And the guns we are supposed to have in our homes are the very guns that a standing army would have that exists in this country at the time we're dealing with.
Now, you know, Craig, at this point, we're going to have to make clear that we're not talking about multiple barrel, you know, 30 millimeter Hughes chain guns that are stashed over there in the closet to be unleashed upon a perceived threat. You're just talking about individual armaments, rifles.
What would be called the personal weapon of an infantryman? The standing
exactly.
Army would be armed, the individual soldier would be armed today with an M4 or what you might know as an M16. Or a sniper rifle of an equal caliber. We're not talking about arming with bazookas or RPGs or anything like that. But you know what? Even if they would, the Founding Fathers wouldn't care if you had RPGs and full automatic weapons. And you can own Gatling guns and machine guns if you get a $200 tax stamp. So that's really not the question. I don't want to see the argument change so people who are ignorant of what the Second Amendment means falls by the wayside, because I really think we're facing something right now that's fundamentally different from what we've witnessed in the last 30 years. Something's changing in this country, and it has to do with, I think, the perception between who makes up one class of the citizenry. Let me put it this way. The white, male, Christian, conservative, gun-owning, heterosexual. That makes up a very large majority of the male population in this country. Now, that category of individual has a long history in gun rights, in building the West, going West, individualism. It's been with us 200 years. So it's not surprising that those particular category of men have more guns than most people. That's not surprising just because it's a cultural fact.
Well, but not only is it a cultural fact, but it's a demographic fact.
Exactly. It's as simple to understand. But what nobody's bothering to try to grasp is why would a separate category of the population, a category that studies, follows any violation of civil liberties, called the progressive left, they've been on the leading edge of exposing every invasion of privacy, surveillance society, the use of drones on U.S. territory, search and seizure laws, any violation of the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment. The progressive left has been on the leading edge of providing that information and saying, this is in violation of the Constitution, it must stop. But what makes them, the same people that have given us information for decades, saying that we're at the edge of a regime, a fascist regime that's taking over the country, it's a corporate violent regime that doesn't care about your rights, and we're on the brink of it, and they're the ones protesting it and saying it. They're even admitting now through their own research they've discovered through Freedom of Information Act that Occupy Wall Street, which was taken over by the progressive left from a libertarian movement, the Occupy Wall Street now has proof positive that the FBI and the largest banks work together to put them under the strangest surveillance ever witnessed in a document. Yet
yes.
These are exactly the same people saying we're coming upon a fascist state, so let's disarm the American people.
What's up with all these executive orders that just bypass Congress? Look, here's the thing. I want everybody to be taken care of. I had one of these things that, you know, I looked down one day and I went, what is that? So I called I called the hospital and said, I need to get in and see a doc. And I wound up just shelling out about, I don't know, $5,000, a little bit more, get this thing fixed, you know? And so I understand what it's like to be stuck. I could imagine what it would be like for somebody to have some catastrophic illness. But in England, for example, if it's like, well, you know, you're 67 or 8 years old, you've had a long life, and it's going to cost an awful lot of money to make you healthy again. So we're going to put you on the pathway, which is euthanasia, effectively. And this is, I mean, that's a bit of a strong representation of that, but that is what's happening. And I'm just wondering, once the healthcare is controlled and the money is controlled, and I started this off, you might have heard that diatribe at the beginning of the program, that little rant there. It's like, if the arms go away, we're totally naked. As it is, I mean, there are two police officers that are in trouble right now for doing an on roadside cavity search of a woman. I mean, what is this, Craig? And it's all coming in one big cascade of weirdness, you know?
Well, I think it's called the slippery slope. But you actually started this sentence out with executive orders. And no executive order has been overturned since Abraham Lincoln. An executive order was issued by the president, and it has 30 days once it's published in the Federal Register to be overturned by the House and the Senate with a simple two-thirds majority. That has never happened since Abraham Lincoln. Obama has threatened to use an executive order to ban specific sidearms or assault weapons, so-called. Now he's violating two laws. The Constitution under the Second Amendment is being violated, and our Constitution prohibits ex post facto law in any way, shape, or form. You can't take what was legal on Monday and Tuesday say it's illegal and put people in jail and had them on Monday. It can't be done.
You have to
the fact that those laws were in place, and you have to leave them alone in our Constitution. But what I'm asking is, do you really understand, do you really understand what it is that makes the progressive left, who fights tooth and nail over every conceivable civil liberties violation that comes aboard, anything from gay marriage, they want to smoke marijuana, they want abortions, they don't want you to be able to search and seize anything, they don't want you to listen in on their emails, their text messages, all of this is being violated by the Obama administration, every area of it, and on top of that, the left will say, all of this collectively means we're headed for a fascist state, so let's ban guns.
Well, this makes no sense to me, and what I was trying to say a minute ago was, with starting off with the health care and wanting people to have it, because I know what it's like to take a bite out of a hospital bill like that, is this. Chief Justice Roberts says, well, it's illegal under the Commerce Clause, but you can make it a tax, and yet isn't Congress supposed to arrange for the taxing? So, in other words, it's like, it's illegal, but guess what? They've done it. So now who are we going to call? And this gutless Congress, I mean, there are a few guys in there and some women that are I don't want to leave the gals out, that are doing a good job. But they're in the tiny minority. I think most of them are just, didn't I just use the word gutless? I think they're gutless. They can't make a decision.
I think it's okay to say they're all gutless when you understand that you're saying it, meaning that the exception that might exist proves the rule.
Well, why are they not as strident as their opponents?
Well, I think at this point in time, we don't have a Congress or a Senate that has any interest in protecting our rights whatsoever. I think that's long gone. I think Ron Paul will be the last true gasp of it. But I think what we're missing here is this is not just between the government and the Americans that keep and bear arms personally. There's something else behind it that I think we've all been missing. The progressive left doesn't hate government. It doesn't hate big government. The conservative right can't stand big government, wants less government. The progressive left, as individuals, by and large, they want a seat at the table. And I've been around them long enough. I've had to deal with them long enough in many capacities, and I'm just telling you that maybe you need to understand, your audience needs to understand, that the progressive left movement that wants to disarm America is also the movement that has stood in the foreground of protecting civil liberties for the rest of America, but not on this issue. And there's a reason why, and I think all of you need to understand it. Progressive right, I'm sorry, right-wingers can't stand big government. Left-wingers demand it.
All right. All right, Craig, we'll discuss this and many other subjects when we come back. I want to ask Craig B. Hewlett how long he thinks it'll be until the cultural question of the day becomes, well, in a free society, why do you need privacy? This is Coast to Coast AM. Craig Hewlett, we'll get into that privacy thing in a minute since we have a good amount of time tonight. And if you feel like we might even take a call or two, but I want to ask you something. And just you and me talking here in the presence of several million people. How does I can sit here in this chair and just ask questions, just go down the list and just let you say whatever you want, or we can have a conversation here. And I like the long conversation. It's the way to have some information actually get out there. If you just want to do talking points and sound bites, go to TV. But I'm having a little problem with something, and that is, what is your opinion or your definition or something? Can you enlighten me as to the mindset of people that think if you love the Constitution and you understand that you have only to look at history to see what happens to a disarmed population? Why do we who support Second Amendment rights and every other right in the Bill of Rights, why are we whack jobs? Why are we radical, crazy idiots? Why is that? Well, I thought we were supposed to cherish the Constitution and cherish what our country stood for. I'm not going to start crying here or anything like Beck, you know, but I mean, what the hell's going on in the psyche of the American people?
Well, it's a group of people, actually, that have a peculiar take on the way things ought to be. It's a philosophical, spiritual, religious kind of atheistic viewpoint of the world, and they call themselves the progressive left, like I said. They support and will defend nonviolently in their language, not always in their practice, but in their language nonviolently, the support of all civil liberties, starting with, you know, drugs, alcohol, gay marriage, abortion. But like I said, these are a group of people collectively, and you can paint them with a broad brush in this case. They are in favor of big government. They don't want to see government reduced in size. They don't have any inherent rational fear of the government becoming a tyranny. They want to become part of the government, or as I came to know them, when I would be in a congressional meeting and there would be people like that as part of the meeting when I was working for Congressman Metcalf, I just explained them to the other staffers that you don't understand. They want a seat at the table. They're not opposed to what government does or even what the giant multinational corporations do hand in hand with the government in creating this totalitarian system.
I understand that, Craig, but let me play devil's advocate for just a second. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to get in here real quick. And we keep talking about the progressive left. I got to tell you, I do not approve of the things that Richard Nixon did. I do not approve of the things that George W. Bush did or what George H.W. Bush did. These guys are not clept under the title of progressive left. And yet, you have Oliver Stone come forward and say, you know, I'm thinking our current president is like a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's taken everything I despise. I'm paraphrasing. He's taken everything that I didn't like about what George Bush did as far as compromising the principles of this nation and has now codified them. So it looks to me like we need a different category for the people who are doing this. I don't think progressive left, I'm thinking that's a cliche. I'm thinking that's becoming the uniform for the cliche.
Well, let me go ahead and finish, and I think maybe I can help you with that.
All right, good.
Oliver Stone and I have been friends for 20 years. Every time I go to L.A., we have dinner. I know Oliver's thinking about everything political because an awful lot of my material ended up in that book that him and the professor wrote. But let me explain something. Again, I want to go back. You have to understand the starting point of what we call the progressive left. They are actually in favor of big government, but they are in favor of big government without a particular category of people being free to participate in it as free as them. And that category of people are the ones that you'll notice it in Hollywood, you'll notice it in television, in academia, you'll notice it in things like the Sierra Club or different environmental groups. They really do despise how this country was founded by white Anglo-Saxon males, many of whom were Christians, very conservative in their thinking and religious, and of course, without question, they keep and bear arms.
Well, did they say who would they have preferred to settle the country?
No, they're just happy as could be that they can point the finger at racism, at slavery. They can condemn the founding fathers because the founding fathers aren't here to defend themselves, and they can rewrite history, mathematics, and philosophy in deconstructionist theories any way they want.
Okay.
And if we don't pay attention to this, the problem is they're going to win this battle because they don't like white, male, heterosexual, gun-owning conservatives. You need that.
Well, they don't like individuals, is what you're saying.
The right-wing, conservative, gun-owning Christian male doesn't like large government. Our anger is directed towards, look, I even added myself to it now because of this issue. The anger of the American people in that category is against government encroachment in our rights and civil liberties. The progressive left is not in favor of that. They are in favor of government encroachment into our liberties as long as it's the liberties they get because they don't like those white guys. Somebody needs to say this. And
but
say
they're white guys in many cases, Craig.
The progressive left is racist.
Okay,
the progressive left is racist, John.
Well, what I'm saying is they're, aren't they white also?
Yes, some of them are. But they also hate white men that own guns that are Christian, conservative, heterosexual males.
Okay.
It's like a club, but it's their special club. And they are bound and determined to have a seat at the corporate government table. They don't want to see government go away. They want to be part of it. They just don't want white, conservative, male, Christian gun owners part of it. And taking away your guns, taking away the guns from that segment of society will make these people dance a little jig, do high fives, and scream Yahoo. I'm telling you, there's a hatred behind what we're faced with, and we need to face it realistically as the Americans who are being targeted here. We haven't done it because we've been too busy trying to say, look, I'm white, but I'm not a bigot. I'm white, but I don't have a problem with gay marriage. I'm white, but I want to keep and bear arms. Oops, not that one. This is a very predictable and a very orchestrated and ugly attack on a segment of the country that if we were to reverse this, and be targeting gun owners, and they were just blacks that owned guns, we would be slammed as the worst racist on earth. We would be vilified and lynched for being the biggest bigots on earth. But they're free up because they make up a cultural segment of society that includes white, blacks, Hispanics, gay, lesbian. Make a list. They're the Rainbow Coalition. And they can hate and they can be bigots all day long, and nobody can say anything to them.
Yeah,
that's
there's
why
an interesting
activity has got the mainstream media going after gun rights with such vigor, with such glee, a gleam in their eyes that they're going to finally punish the founding fathers' inheritors.
And it seems to be ramping up rather quickly, don't you think? It's no budgets. Fiscal cliff delayed for a couple of months. I'm hearing the word bankruptcy. Started hearing it today, in fact. Do you think all of this is timed to coincide with what is a known date for default? And do you think there's some sort of a push to maybe criminalize these firearms prior to some sort of economic event of the negative variety?
Look, they know something. They know the country is in dire straits, but the fiscal cliff is far worse than anybody would even care to discuss. You know, when Obama starts talking about using an executive order to ban guns, this is
unconstitutional. That doesn't look good.
Different levels.
Yeah.
Did you know he also issued an executive order to give himself and George Bush Jr. lifelong Secret Service protection? Is that a coincidence that he did it the next day?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he knows fully well that if he goes after guns, there's a large segment of this society will not allow that to happen, and there will be blood in the streets. But the progressive left and the left wing of the media, the entertainment industry, and in academia, that group that I just described to you, they're not going to have a problem if there's a Waco incident in every major metropolitan area in the United States. They will be doing high fives because it will be you that'll be getting shot and your guns taken away, and you and your friends will be going to jail. They will not have a problem with that.
Well, we already have the NDAA. And that's not a good thing. When in the history of this country has it been possible to incarcerate somebody, hold them indefinitely without charges, legal representation, or so much of a phone as a phone call? I mean, doesn't that get anybody's attention? All of this happening at the same time?
Corpus? No. And in fact, this country wasn't even founded on it. This country already had it digested in our stomachs before this country had a chance at being founded. That was founded in the Magna Carta. That's been a common law right 300 years before America ever founded itself as a nation state. So no, until just the last week when Obama signed it into law, no, this country as a nation has never been without habeas corpus. No one has ever been allowed to be held without an indictment, grand jury, probable cause, and habeas corpus. Let me see a judge. Let's find out if I've been arrested legally. Not until Obama just signed it.
Well, and then there's the, apparently, the execution order. That American citizens can be targeted by a drone or a person, for that matter.
Yes, and the man who makes the decision is the president. One guy.
Has this ever been done before, Craig?
Not in America. It has in, you know, ancient lands and monarchies. And then we get myths about Robin Hoods that show up and try to put a stop to it. But no, not in America. These things that are going down with a segment of society not having a problem with it because a segment of society believes they're going to be part of the new emerging government that comes out of it. And I'm including the progressive left, as I've identified them. They believe they're going to be part of this new age, new order kind of thingy, and the people that they don't care to have seated at the table is the white, Christian, heterosexual male.
You know, that's sort of a repetitive theme in what you're talking about. It seems... It's rough stuff, you know. I mentioned earlier, some of this stuff is, it's okay to know this, but it's not okay to say it. It's okay to research and say, wow, look at this corporation. They've been in the military like Disney. You know, we talked with Catherine Albrecht about the little bracelets that do everything, let you get on the ride, to let you buy an ice cream or something at Disneyland, and the indoctrination of kids into that system. And it's just extraordinary to me that... It's just extraordinary to me that all of this is happening at one time. It would be one thing if one of these major issues reared its head every 5 years or so.
I see what you're getting at. I understand what you're saying, yes. Yes, but guess what? It's been accruing for a very long time. But in the past, when guys like me or you would come across one piece of evidence, which I've been doing for 35 years, I come across one piece of evidence and present it to the public, they go, oh... That's just a conspiracy theory. That'll never happen. But the thing I was talking about is now here. What they have is they've accumulated, and we are now at the breaking point. And we now have a president who has absolutely zero respect for the U.S. Constitution. He's made that perfectly clear, that he has no respect for the Constitution, and it will not get in the way of where he's taking the country. The question we should be asking ourselves is, who then is going to get in the way? What's the 1.4 billion rounds of ammunition for at Homeland Security and Social Security and the Department of Energy and the Department of Education? They've got enough ammo to kill all of every single American now on domestic soil four times over.
Yes. Does make one wonder who all that ammo's for, but we've talked about that before. You know, I really hope this doesn't happen, but you keep hearing this expression, well, we're going to be Greece. We're about to be Greece. Well, the thing is, if you talk to people who are in Greece, the ones who are hurting are the ones who are on any kind of, you know, aid or subsidy, and there are lots of them. And when that money doesn't come, and they have like 100 euros or something to live on for a month, they can't do it. And we see these riots in Spain, and we see these riots in Greece and so forth. And I'm just thinking, I'll give you my nightmare scenario, and then I want to ask you what you think is going to happen when it comes time to deal with the fiscal cliff again. I think we're going to default, and I think those cards aren't going to work, and I think people are going to pick up some cash and put it in their pockets, and I think we're going to see some bank holidays, and that's kind of what I see happening. I do not see things improving. As the debt heads towards $17 trillion at the rate that it's going, you have to know this must be dealt with in some way. What do? Do you just declare bankruptcy? The United States of America declare bankruptcy and default? I mean, is that where we're headed? I think so.
Well, that's one of two scenarios. The other scenario is that this government is so much a part of the corporate elite now that it's one and the same thing. I think that's become pretty clear with Jamie Dimon and Geithner and Rubin that, you know, you go to New York, the 5-10 largest banks supply all of the cabinet members that matter in each administration. Now it's to the point that it's embarrassing. And if you look at it from their perspective, they will do absolutely whatever it takes to protect their dollar holdings and to keep the dollar the currency of exchange. There is a linchpin in some of the wars we've been fighting in different countries, Libya, Iraq, different countries that have wavered from use of the U.S. dollar to purchase, for instance, oil. Iraq started it. You saw what happened to them. Libya was talking about doing it, and you saw what happened to Gaddafi.
Yes.
This is a government that will defend that fiat currency by the use of absolute total warfare on basically just barely developing countries. We're the most powerful military on earth, and we're going in and we're crushing small countries with a boot that makes Hitler look like a joke. But we're also turning that machinery inward against the American people. The new Defense Authorization Act, the new one, has just allowed the 1948 and revised 78 laws to be thrown out, whereby propaganda used by the Foreign Service in like Radio Free America, or where they broadcast into the Soviet Union propaganda. Well, there were laws against the American government shooting propaganda back here domestically against our own citizens. They just revoked that this week.
All right, we've got another hour with you, Craig B. Hewlett, and this is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. John B. sitting in for George Norrie tonight. Thanks for listening.